Welcome to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canahan. Today, we continue our coverage of coronavirus. We'll hear what kind of financial help is available to people struggling during the economic crash brought on by the pandemic. The Florida Department of Economic Opportunity reports that more than 1.5 million unique unemployment claims have been filed in Florida. Only 78% have been processed, and about 740,000 people have been paid state benefits of up to $275 a week. So many people are in desperate economic crisis. We'll hear about a range of programs designed to help. Later on in the show, we'll take your calls. The number is 813-239-9663. Email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. To start the show, I'm going to bring you some information from an online town hall meeting last Thursday evening that was hosted by the Common Ground Project. According to its Facebook page, it's a nonprofit that works to improve the lives of all Floridians by advocating for issues that allow communities to focus on their commonalities over their differences, build broad consensus, and create lasting change. The first person we'll hear from is Florida Policy Institute Senior Policy Analyst Cindy Huddleston. You may want to have a pen and paper handy as she tells you about programs like SNAP, WIC, PEBT, TANF, and Medicaid, and how to apply.
I'd like to say a few words about programs that aren't getting a lot of attention right now, but are really important programs to help families make ends meet until the economy recovers and folks can get back on their feet, particularly given the demands and the inadequacies of the unemployment insurance system here in Florida. The first program is SNAP, and that stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. SNAP is a food assistance program administered by the Department of Children and Families. If you're struggling putting food on the table, or even having to decide between buying food or paying for your utilities, this is a program that can help you and is in fact designed to help persons when the economy tanks like it has in this pandemic. As an example of what the program provides, let's say you're a family of three and you don't have any other income. You may be able to get an allotment of food assistance in the amount of $509 a month to buy groceries. And you can even use those SNAP benefits to buy seeds or plants to grow your own food with your free time at home during the pandemic. You can apply online at DCF's website and deal with all the procedures and the logistics without ever having to leave your home. And if you do sign up for the SNAP program, DCF just added, about 3 weeks or a month ago, a new function that allows participants in Florida to order groceries online with Amazon and Walmart. Now, delivery fees can't be paid for through SNAP, but it does give families a whole new option that they never had before and is particularly important during COVID-19. Also, if you apply for SNAP in May, you may be able to get extra SNAP added onto your allotment for the month under a special emergency allotment that the department has put on SNAP benefits for March, April, and May. We don't know yet whether there will be additional allotments in future months, but if you're facing food insecurity, if you're struggling to put food on the table and you're thinking about applying, now may be the time to do it because you may be able to get a little bit of extra assistance than you ordinarily would be able to get through the SNAP program. The WIC program, now that stands for Women, Infants, and Children. It's another program that can assist families who are food insecure or need help, buying food at the grocery store. It's a federally funded program that provides help for food to low-income pregnant, breastfeeding, and non-breastfeeding postpartum mothers, and also to infants and children under the age of 5 at nutritional risk. The Department of Health administers WIC through county health departments. To apply, you need to call your local health department to get the ball rolling. You have to have income at or below 185% of poverty to qualify. But the WIC program has made many pandemic adjustments to make it easier for folks to be able to participate. So I would highly recommend that you do that. WIC isn't a program that a lot of folks think about when they think about what safety net programs are out there for them. Only 51% of eligible persons in Florida participate in WIC, and that was before the pandemic. So there are probably many more eligible folks who are not participating now. Over 400,000 Floridians who qualify for WIC weren't participating before the pandemic. So again, we imagine that it's much higher at this point. So please remember that, especially during the pandemic, it's a program that can really help families that are struggling. And by the way, WIC fills the gap for a lot of families, such as immigrant families, who have mostly gotten left out of federal pandemic relief so far. Something that we hope will be rolled out in Florida soon, and we've got our fingers crossed. The governor's ordered it. It's called Pandemic Electronic Benefit Transfer, or PEBT. This program, when it gets off the ground, and it's not off the ground yet, will provide meal replacements for kids in schools that have been closed if the child is eligible for the free or reduced school meal program. Benefits in PEBT are going to be provided on the SNAP EBT cards, and you'll probably get, if you're eligible, about $5.70 per eligible student per day, but that does add up over the month. PEBT benefits will be able to be used to buy any SNAP eligible food, which is most foods except prepared foods and hot foods. Several states have already submitted requests for a PEBT program or been approved and are already operating PEBT programs. But in the best of times, standing up this new program takes time. DCF says that they've submitted a request to FNS to roll out the program, and they're just awaiting approval. So we're very hopeful that this is going to be finally getting off the ground soon. Now, if you think this is something that you're interested in for your family and for your children, you may want to consider going ahead and signing up your child for the free or reduced school meal program in your school district now. That's because if and when DCF finally rolls out your PEBT program, that way your child will already be signed up for the program through the school, and you may be able to get your assistance quicker and easier. And so that's just something to think about doing. Last but not least is the TANF program, which stands for Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. TANF provides very modest cash assistance for low-income families with children on a monthly basis. Eligibility depends on your household income. There is a formula for calculating whether you're eligible, but the bottom line is that your net countable income, which is your income minus these allowable deductions that the state permits, it can't exceed the maximum payment for your family size, which, as I said, is very low. For example, in Florida, $303 is the most that a family of three can get. You can apply for TANF monthly assistance at DCF online, just like you can for SNAP, and you can deal with all the procedures and logistics without ever having to leave your home. Although the payment level is quite low, if you're living on nothing now, it is something that may help you provide for some of your children's basic needs until you get it back on your feet. So for folks who are still waiting on their unemployment insurance benefits to come through, and there are many hundreds of thousands in Florida who are waiting, there are programs in place like SNAP and WIC and TANF. And by the way, I didn't go into depth about Medicaid, but that's also a medical assistance program that's very important and that you may want to consider applying for. You do that also through DCF online, the same way that you apply for SNAP or TANF. So keep that in mind. These are programs that are there for families in times of need during the pandemic. That's what they're there for. They're structured to react in times when the economy tanks. So they're worth looking at if your family is struggling right now. And I hope that you'll consider applying for those programs if you really need help right now.
That's Florida Policy Institute Senior Policy Analyst Cindy Huddleston speaking Thursday in an online town hall meeting hosted by the Common Ground Project. You are listening to WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM, and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. This is WMNF's Midpoint Monday. If you miss any of this show or if you want more information, we'll include links and audio on our website later this afternoon. It will be at WMNF.org. Also participating in that online town hall was State Representative Jennifer Webb. She's a Democrat from Gulfport and has information here about resources available to Pinellas County residents. Many other counties have similar help available if you call the county.
Honestly, this is the only thing that keeps me going in this job is knowing that at least our counties and our communities haven't dropped the ball like our state has, and that I can help, like Cindy so wonderfully did, share resources that are available for our families and for our micro businesses. But in Pinellas County, there is the Pinellas Cares program. What you do is you text COVID Cares to 898-211. And it will tell you the documentation that you need. And what this does is it's up to $3,000 for families to pay rent, mortgage, car payments, and utilities. Daystar has a similar program, and they'll pay some health costs as well. St. Pete Free Clinic has a program for utilities. And so these are some resources that you can avail yourself. And the county has really worked to make it as easy as possible for people. They're really just looking at where are you at the point that you apply, not what did you make last year, not what have you made in the past quarter. It really is where are you in this moment and what do you need help with? They very much demonstrated that they get it. This program is also available for small businesses. You don't text 211. The link is portal.neighborlysoftware.com/PinellasCOFLECONDEV/participant/login. You can get there from the Pinellas County government website, and they have up to $5,000 for business owners to put towards mortgage, rent, utilities, and other expenses. Also in Pinellas County, Cindy did a great job talking about all SNAP, WIC, TANF, and mentioning the Medicaid program. There's a list of food programs on JWB's website, and it's exhaustive. I mean, they include everything from Meals on Wheels for Kids, which will bring meals to your house, to the summer breaks school lunch sites at the schools, to the school lunch sites at community partners. Also, the Area Agency on Aging for Pinellas and Pasco has a list of resources. Their helpline will connect people to folks who will go and shop for you, folks who will go and get your medicine for you. They also have just a mental health wellness check-in for seniors, because a lot of the senior programs, like the traditional Meals on Wheels programs brought to us by Neighborly Care Network, they're not able to actually have that face-to-face interaction because they don't want to potentially spread illness down their routes to their seniors. And so what the Area Agency on Aging has done is they have a care hotline where somebody will call. You can sign up to have somebody just call you and check on you every week for 45 minutes, ask how you're doing, see how your week went, see how things are in your household so that you don't have to be alone, because so many of our seniors do suffer from isolation and all of the sadness that goes along from being isolated. And in terms of health care, Pinellas County has the blue card, and you can get to that through the Pinellas County government website. It's through their Health and Human Service. And it's not insurance. They have doctors who are signed up to be part of this, and they'll treat you. You just apply for the card. And also, when I did a conversation with some insurance specialists about healthcare, accessing affordable healthcare during this time, because of course, you know, healthcare is tied to jobs in Florida and tightly tied to jobs because we didn't expand Medicaid. But what they emphasized was any changes in your employment status, even loss of hours, you should contact your health insurance provider, because they may be able to do things to make your payments more affordable for you. And so now's the time to do it. Don't wait until you run out of insurance. Don't wait until, you know, it's too expensive or you get a bill. Just call them as soon as you have a change in status. And then, of course, any change of status makes you eligible to sign up for any major life experience, makes you eligible to sign up for the Affordable Care Act plans. And losing your job is a major life change. And so if that's happened, just reach out to them. You don't have to wait for the enrollment period. You can do that right now. And those are some of the programs. And I also wanted to say that I was really happy that Cindy spoke about the PSNAP, or the pandemic SNAP, PEBT. I know that I spoke to the DCF undersecretary about this as well. And not only did she say that, you know, the ball is kind of in the federal government's court with approving their plan to expand this, but also she mentioned that they were working with retailers to ask them to waive the delivery fee for the SNAP, for using your SNAP online, because right now, as Cindy mentioned, you can use it online for certain retailers, but you can't use it to cover the delivery fee. And the state is working and trying to negotiate on behalf of our families that fee away. And maybe they pay it outright from the state. I'm not sure, but I have a call into her to find out where we are with that, because I know that that is also a big barrier to families accessing that. And some families really shouldn't be leaving their house, and they need those services provided to them and those groceries brought in. And so it's actually a pleasure to stay up to date on resources that are available to you and to our families across Florida, because it is so unbelievably painful to not be able to fix the unemployment system for y'all. Even despite my fierce advocacy and my, you know, weekly calls and my weekly insistence and calling the governor and calling DEO and being an overall pain in the ass, it's not outside of calling session. There is our power as a body is very minimal, and that's hard. And it's my pleasure to, you know, continue to just, you know, saber rattle and let DEO and let our executive office know how bad our families are hurting. But boy, would I rather fix it. Like, I would rather fix it. And part of my effort that I'm trying to get off the ground is I want to collect a video short. Kelly was absolutely right. This is money that your employers actually pay in year after year that you should be able to access because they've paid the money. And employers are actually very frustrated on your behalf as well. Many employers, I hear from them. So what I'm asking people is to send me just short videos of them talking about how the state's failure to fix this problem in a timely fashion has impacted their family specifically. And I especially want that from people in my district, because I want to compile them into a video letter to the governor and to DEO, because I need them to get it the same way that our families who are going through it get it and can empathize with each other, just like my staff who don't sleep at night because they're rising with the plight of our families. They get it. I need the people who are actually making the decisions to get it like we get it and to have that spur them into action. And so that's the action that I'm working on right now. And I, like I said, a short video briefly talking about how it's impacted you. And I mean, people have told me in various ways, like, you know, for the first time in my life, I haven't been able to pay all of my bills, you know, and it's tearing me apart. And I scream at my kids more than I used to, or I wasn't going to buy my heart medicine and because I didn't have the money to buy it because I'm so broke. Or the only reason why I haven't been kicked out of my house is because of the stay on evictions. But I know that I owe this money. How am I ever going to pay it back? And know that also myself and other legislators are fighting to make sure that DEO and the executive office are make good on their promise. I mean, they've promised on multiple times to make people whole and to back pay what's due. And I will continue to push for that because I think it should be back paid to the date of your unemployment, not to the date that you somehow miraculously were able to get through the system.
That's State Representative Jennifer Webb, a Democrat from Gulfport. You are listening to WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM. I'm Sean Canaan. This is WMNF's Midpoint Monday. If you miss any of this show or if you want more information, we'll include links and audio on our website, WMNF.org, later this afternoon. We'll take your calls shortly to find out what types of services you've been able to access. Maybe there's something we haven't mentioned yet. The number is 813-239-9663. You can email DJ at WMNF.org or text 813-433-0885. We're going to focus much of the rest of the show on the state's broken unemployment system. The Tampa Bay Times reported last week that Governor Ron DeSantis says that people who have lost their jobs during the pandemic are to blame for the massive problems with the state's unemployment application program. DeSantis claimed that 99.99% of people who successfully applied for unemployment in the last 2 months have been paid. But in reality, thousands of applicants have not been paid. A Department of Economic Opportunity spokesperson said the department was reviewing DeSantis's statement. One state representative, Carlos Smith, tweeted that the governor wants to know who filed for unemployment in March that has not been paid. He wants names as if thousands of you do not exist. So Representative Smith suggested that people email the governor your name, claimant number, last four of the Social Security number, date of birth, and phone number. We'll hear now a story filed by Florida Public Radio about the state's unemployment system. Then we'll be joined by our guest, who has formed a popular Facebook page for people who are having trouble getting their unemployment compensation in Florida, and we'll take your calls. As unemployment rates skyrocket, filing for benefits in Florida can feel like a seemingly impossible task. Many filers have reported website crashes and several hours spent waiting on hold. Governor DeSantis has added more workers, new servers, and made other changes to the system in an attempt to address the issues. Now, Blaise Ganey reports, as some unemployed Floridians are finalizing their applications, they're turning their focus to another issue, getting approved for those benefits.
Rich Templin with the AFL-CIO says Floridians who lost their jobs and struggled to access the unemployment system are beginning to have better luck now. But he says now there's a new crisis forming.
Now, however, as more and more workers are making it through that process, they are being told they are eligible for nothing.
Yvette Cruz was fired from her food service job with Disney on March 27th.
It took me 8 days to get into the system to apply. Then after a month of me trying to call the number, being busy, the system was always down. I couldn't get through. I finally got through on April 30th. On April 30th, I saw on the screen that I wasn't qualified.
Cruz says she filed an appeal, and after trying for a week to get into contact with someone to check the status of her benefits application, she was denied again.
On Friday, May 8th, I finally got a hold of a lady, and she told me, look, you didn't get approved for it. I'm going to give you another program, another system, another application.
From then on, Cruz went through what she says felt like a streamlined process.
Which is PUA, which is Pandemic Unemployment System. She went through it with me. I got approved for $275, $600 a week. But my concern right now is if I'm going to get my retroactive pay from March 22nd till now.
She was able to request some retroactive pay, but not all. And she worries it's not enough.
My concern right now is getting my mortgage paid because I have until June 1st to pay March, April, and May. If I don't pay it, I'm going to get a foreclosure or I'm going to be out in the street.
Cruz says it feels like the system is designed to make applicants give up. Michelle Evermore with the National Employment Law Project agrees.
This was a system actively designed to discourage workers from applying for benefits. And so workers were made to navigate a confusing application process designed to cut them off at every point.
Evermore says Florida statistics back up her statement.
This was a system actively designed to discourage workers from applying for benefits. And so workers were made to navigate a confusing application process designed to cut them off at every point.
Evermore says currently Florida is dead last when it comes to claims processing during the coronavirus pandemic. But she says the system isn't the only problem. She also points to issues with the state's rules for who's eligible.
Massachusetts and New Mexico modernized their computer systems in a consortium with Florida's, and those systems are paying out benefits. The programming is based on an underlying political structure that revolves around denying benefits anytime it is remotely possible.
That's been the case for laid-off construction worker Thomas Spellman.
I'm a first-year apprentice at Local 67 here at Plant City. I applied March 22nd, and I was denied April 27th with no reason given. When I did finally reach somebody on the phone, all they told me was they couldn't tell me why I was ineligible. So they told me to reapply.
He says since then, he's applied twice more and hasn't heard anything back from the state.
I do have a baby on the way, expecting any day now. So, you know, it's been tough being on one income, but right now we're on no income because she's on maternity leave and we're waiting for her short-term disability to kick in. So that's going to be about another 2 weeks.
Spellman says he's tried calling several times and even emailing Governor Ron DeSantis himself.
I have questions too. Am I going to get retroactive pay from March 22nd? Now that I've had to reapply three different times, is that going to affect me? Is that going to affect my pay, my application? It's very frustrating. You can't contact anybody. You know, I've emailed the governor, no response. You know, I've sent countless emails with no response, countless phone calls,
So it's been tough. The state has failed me.
The AFL-CIO has dropped off around 11,000 petitions at the Capitol building, asking the governor to make several changes to the unemployment system and its rules. Some of those changes would clarify that workers taking unpaid leave should be eligible for unemployment, and that voluntary separations due to quarantine or unsafe working conditions shouldn't disqualify a worker from receiving unemployment benefits. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Blaze Ganey.
Well, that report was from Blaze Ganey from WFSU, the NPR and Florida Public Radio affiliate in Tallahassee. You're listening now to WMNF Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan, and in a few minutes, we're going to take your calls about your experience with the unemployment system or your experience with applying for benefits of any kind around the state. And you can call 813-239-9663. You can also email dj at wmnf.org, or you can text 813-433-0885. And our guest now is joining us by phone. Kelly Johnson created the group called Action Group for COVID-19 Unemployment Facebook Group. And Kelly is a resident of Dunedin. Welcome to WMNF Midpoint Monday, Kelly. I'm so glad you were able to join us. In fact, last hour, one of your members of your Facebook group called into our previous show and was talking about their experience in the group. So how many people are on that page?
Well, on that page alone, we've got about 1,800, but then we're linked up with two other pages, or actually three other pages. So we're looking at about 20,000 potential reach there and alone in just the groups that I coordinate with.
And we don't know for sure if every single one of those 20,000 is someone who's been unable to access the unemployment system in Florida, but I'm sure that a good percentage of them, so it's a really huge problem if we didn't know that already. Yes. What are some of the big issues that the unemployment system is still having?
The biggest issue, of course, is continued terrible communication with you as a client. Every day, every hour of every day, I have to read continual updates about people who just are locked out of the system through the website, can't get any responsive email, and of course cannot get through on the phone lines. And this is going on, 10 weeks or something like that, since most of it got shut down and a lot of people got thrown on unemployment. So it's been a long time, a very long and grueling battle, and we are not even midway through it yet, unfortunately. So it's tough. It's tough for a lot of people out there.
We know that as of last week that about 1.4 million people had attempted to get online and apply for benefits. There were 220,000 new people last week, and we've been talking over the last hour or so about Ron DeSantis' statement on Friday that it's their fault if they're not being able to get their benefits because either the form is incomplete or it's not filled out properly or they left off their Social Security number. What do you think about the governor's statement that it's the fault of people who are trying to access the system?
Well, I feel like that's really, once again, passing the buck, and that's what he's continuing to do from the podium. He continues to pass the buck. If it wasn't that, then we can go back a little bit in time, and it was a faulty system. There's no acceptance of responsibility, which is very concerning to me. Yes, there are people that are definitely fitting that have made errors on their applications, and I can, list a few that I see commonly that is kind of holding people up, but there are countless others that haven't made any errors, and with no fault of their own, they're just continuing to not be approved for benefits. They're continuing to sit in what we call pending purgatory, where no one gives you any information about your case. You're just pending. These people aren't getting benefits, so they're going on 10, 12 weeks without any income whatsoever. It's very hard.
Our guest is Kelly Johnson. She created the Action Group for COVID-19 Unemployment Facebook Group. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. And we're going to take your questions as well in the next half hour. I'm hearing some feedback, so rather than calling, the best way for you to ask a question would maybe be to email dj at wmnf.org, or you can text us, and the number to text is 813-433-0885. We do have people on the line, so we will get to a few calls, but I'm just guessing that the show will go more smoothly if you actually email or text in your questions to Kelly. And you mentioned a second ago, Kelly, with the Action Group for COVID-19 Unemployment Facebook group, that there are some common mistakes that people are making when they fill out the form. So what advice could you give us for the things that people should double check before they hit send?
First of all, make sure you understand where your qualifying period lies in the timeline. When you apply, like for example, I applied March 18th. My qualifying period is the first four quarters completed of the last five complete quarters. So most people are assuming, oh, well, this is just going back from when I applied. No, that's incorrect. My qualifying period is, I believe, October 1st of 2018 until through September, the end of September 2019. So that's going back 6 months. If I applied April 1st, it would have bumped it up another quarter, if that makes sense. So the first thing you have to do is make sure you know where your qualifying year is to determine if you're eligible for those benefits. The second problem a lot of people are running into is they've moved here in the last year. So they have income in both Florida and another state. Oftentimes they've waited 4 or 6 weeks to be denied by Florida. Then they have to go back and go to the previous state that they were employed in and go through that state. So that's also delaying them as well. So those are two huge things that people can do differently when they're going to apply. Make sure that you, in fact, know what's going on and know what state you need to apply to.
And I'm gonna editorialize a little bit right here. That sounds really complicated to know all these things about qualifying quarters and you know, doing what percentage goes to this state and that state. And I mean, that's a lot to ask people who are really kind of at the end of their rope, really, financially.
Yes, and they're already lost. They're depressed. They're what I consider to speak of as instant poverty. A lot of people had plenty of money and plenty of ability to purchase things, and all of a sudden they have zero income coming in. So they're depressed, and it's very hard to even try to study or think about any of this in the first place. So it's a situation, and it's just the DEO not doing their job. They're not doing their job.
What do you think could be done better right now?
Unfortunately, at this point, we are so deep in this, I don't know what could be done because they have done everything they can. They added extra servers. They added extra people to process claims, to answer the phone lines. They even shut down our the website every night and for almost three full days through the weekend so that they can process claims. So, you know, the DEO has done everything they can to try to work with this broken system. There's not much they can do at this point. The people that they're employing on the phone lines are now just giving us basic Q&A stuff. So they're not even looking in your claim. When you do get through on the 800 number, they're not even looking at your claim to see what's going on with your particular case. It's very discouraging. I wish I could give hope on that one.
Our guest is Kelly Johnson. She created the Action Group for COVID-19 Unemployment Facebook group, and you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. And if you'd like to email a question, it's dj@wmnf.org. You can also text 813-433-0885. It's 12:39 in the afternoon. You're listening to Midpoint Monday. I'm Sean Canaan. And Kelly, let me take an email that came in.
Okay.
This person is writing... It's not signed, but this person says, if they cared, and I assume they mean the state or the DOE, I think they would make an effort to contact those that who had made errors. Why don't they? So is that something that's possible? I know it's a huge volume of unfulfilled claims so far, but do you know if the DOE is making any kind of effort to contact people who made mistakes?
I have heard of one person in one of the groups who actually got contacted, but that was the only out-of-the-blue contact. Most of them have been responded to via email, going through your state representative, your state senator, email blasting, DeSantis, Scott, anybody you can. They've actually had to become the squeaky wheel in order to get any kind of a communication back from the DEO. So That would definitely be wonderful if they could just take it case by case and do so many a day and just get through them and start back where they, with all the way back to who filed first. Because those are the people that have been waiting the longest for their benefits. So it would make sense to start on their cases first and just go case by case and get through it.
Let's back up a little, and we've gone over this on this show before, but let's say someone applies and then they get the full benefit that they're eligible for in Florida. How much are they eligible for and for how long?
Okay, for the full benefit, it would be two different places that are going to be sending you money, supposedly, but it all comes from the same. It's $275 a week is your state benefit, and then the $600 a week is the pandemic benefit approved for through the CARES Act. So you should be getting the first check for federal pandemic through the CARES Act. It'll start on the week of March 29th, so 7 days after that, you'll get your first check. And the last check that will be written to you will be on July the 25th of 2019 if you're right now going through the unemployment system. For state, yeah, as everybody knows, we have 12 weeks of state. So,
and the length of time for the unemployment benefits and the dollar amount from Florida, both of those are among the stingiest in the whole country.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, here you have like somebody, maybe they had earned $75,000 a year. The maximum benefit they can get is $275 a week. So they're trying to live in a $75,000 a year lifestyle with $275 a week. That's just not, that's not okay. That forces them to do all kinds of things financially on top of having to certify that they're also looking for work every day. So that's, it just seems like it's a shame. It's a shame that Florida has done this. I'm ashamed I didn't know how bad it was until I got thrown into this. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. Like, none of us really knew how bad it was. And now we're looking at it and saying, wow, this is really a problem and this is not fair. And yeah, we want to go through the system and one day it'll be over, but we want to make some changes to last for the people coming behind us as well.
Our guest is Kelly Johnson. She created the Action Group for COVID-19 Unemployment Facebook group. She's a resident of Dunedin, and you're listening to WMNF's Midpoint Monday. I'm Sean Canaan. It's 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. We have a couple of more email questions to get to in just a second, but we do have someone holding on the line. We're going to try this just to see if it works. Jerry, you're on the air. What would you like to ask?
Hello?
Go ahead, hello. Jerry, you're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for answering my call. Yes, I tried this morning. I called about six times to get through to the unemployment office, and I was just automated system rejected. And my feeling is they really don't want to help you. They just don't. I kind of get the feeling they don't have the money. That there may be some corruption there. The money is spent, and they're just stalling because they don't have the money to give out. That's the feeling I'm getting now. I mean, they're not. I think this problem could be easily solved with the stimulus. You know, the federal stimulus program gave $500 million to employ people in Florida's unemployment office. But just to answer the phone, I think it would help. And also, I put in a paper application in the middle of March, whenever it first came out. And I haven't heard anything. I would just like to know, do I have to reapply? Did I make a mistake? What is my status? I heard also that you can't reapply. That's not good to reapply. So it's just very frustrating. I mean, I really feel like they're doing this intentionally, that they don't feel like people deserve the money. That's my feeling.
All right, Jerry, thanks so much for calling in, and we're going to drop you off and you can listen to the answer over the radio, if you don't mind. But thank you so much for that question. So what do you think about that, Kelly? That's a really complicated one. You've put in a paper application. You haven't heard anything. You go back online and reapply.
Yeah, that is actually a very common problem that a lot of people in my group have had. And the way that they remedy that, because the time has passed and it's been kind of an extensive wait, go ahead and reapply online.
Just go ahead to the new website.
Accuse you of fraud?
They should. I've not heard of that happening. What? Actually, some of the representatives that I talked to said that they shouldn't have ever sent in a paper application. It's the worst way to do it because the system is so backed up on the computer, they're not even getting a chance to look at the paper applications, much less put it in the computer and process it. So I would definitely suggest get online, apply through the website, and start a whole new application over. And it will ask you if you lost your job due to COVID-19. Of course, you put yes. And any other weird blanks, I would suggest just put COVID-19. If you have questions, just do COVID-19, and it will hopefully get your application through. If that does not work, you need to contact your state House representative, which should be by district, so you should be able to look for that. And directly to contact them. They are there for you. Now, I know that Jennifer Webb said that they have very limited power, which is a little bit disheartening to hear her say that, but they will do whatever they can to help process Jerry's claim through. So I would suggest go online, go through the website, leave it for a few days, see what happens. If you still don't get anywhere, then contact your representative. They will ask you for a claim number. So that's why you will need to go through that process online before you contact them.
Or
you'll be able to
Kelly
obtain one.
Johnson,
yes.
She created the Action Group for COVID-19 Unemployment Facebook group, which has hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands and thousands of members. And she's a resident of Dunedin. You were mentioning the State House, so I want to just briefly interject this. You told me that you were going to... that you haven't made an announcement publicly yet, but you're ready to tell WMNF listeners that you're running for the State House this November?
Yes, that'll be for District 65. So, yes,
and the incumbent there is Chris Sproul.
Paperwork today.
The incumbent is Chris Sproul in the Dunedin area. So
yes,
thanks for making
that
announcement on our show.
I mean, he looks like a real nice person, but he's a Republican. He has voted a lot of things down. I encourage people to just, whatever district you're at this year for re-election, look into your House representatives and see what they're doing and see if it lines up with your beliefs. He's positioned to be the Speaker of the House. So once he wins the election, see, I'm really against a big one here. Once he wins the election, as long as the Republicans, remain in the majority, then he will become the Speaker of the House. So, I kind of picked an interesting battle to fight. But, hey, I'm pretty good at fighting battles so far. So we will see. But, yeah, I'm excited. I want change. I want, going through this, I realized people aren't people anymore to government a lot. And I'm not saying for everybody. But we need to get people in power that remember that we are all human and we are equals. And we all deserve equal treatment. And that is why I'm running for State House. District 65 in November.
Our guest is Kelly Johnson. She created the Action Group for COVID-19 Unemployment Facebook group. She's a resident of Dunedin and running for the State House. And you are listening to WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM, WMNF.org. This is Midpoint Monday. I'm Sean Canaan. You can email your questions to dj@WMNF.org. You can also text 813-433-0885. I want to hear what questions you have, and I want to hear what your experiences have been with the unemployment system. And we do have some emails that I'm going to read in just a second. But I want to ask you, Kelly, if you don't mind saying it, what's your personal experience with the unemployment system here in Florida? I imagine that's why you got so involved.
Yes, because originally I filled it out the application. My son, who's 20, who lives with me, he filled out the application. We both worked at the same place. We got furloughed because restaurants shut down dine-in service. I was manager. He was server. And so originally I thought, okay, it'll take a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of weeks more, just kind of having patience. Well, I continued to see the same thing, the same status when I would go on the computer, pending. So I linked up with a Facebook group and that they were sharing the similar stories. And then I started to realize, wow, this is becoming an issue. So
we were on that Facebook group, and I said, hey, why are we all just going to sit around and complain about it? I'm kind of the mouth, in case you can't tell. So I said, let's go out there and protest. So I started another Facebook group, and then we started our first protest. And since then, we've had, like, three in Tampa, three in Tallahassee. There's been one in Orlando. Like, we've really been out there voicing what is happening. So on my personal case, getting back to your original question, I am eligible. I have been receiving some state benefit and some federal. They're behind on my case about 6 weeks, and they're not doing anything to catch up on the money. So while it's wonderful that I'm eligible, it's still really hard because I lost 2 months of income, and that was really hard for me. So.
Okay, this is Kelly Johnson. She created the Action Group for COVID-19 Unemployment Facebook group. If you'd like to ask her a question, you can email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. I have an email here from Kylie who says, any advice for someone who has since gone back to work after being furloughed? Do they need to do anything on their end to stop unemployment checks coming their way? My boyfriend was furloughed for 7 weeks and started getting the $600 federal right away, but only got one $275 check from Florida unemployment. He worries that if he goes in the sites and makes changes to his status, then he won't get any back pay. But at the same time, he doesn't want to collect money that he shouldn't be after getting back to work today. So that's how would you respond to Kylie?
Well, this is actually something that has been told to us by the EO as well. This is not an uncommon issue. Number one, be a great tracker. Know when your benefits started, know when you went back to work, and determine that time frame and the money that is actually yours that's being sent to you. The other money, as it continues to come in, just put aside, because the DEO will be able to catch up, and they will be coming after you to have you return that money. You'll want to make sure that you can access that money quickly so this whole mess can be over with for you. So I would suggest, you know, making sure you know what you are owed versus what you're being overpaid. Keep that overpayment. Send it back when the DEO contacts you.
When you say overpayment, if they're still, in your mind, catching up from money that they owed you from before, yet it's coming to you after you're still working, that wouldn't be an overpayment, would it?
No, it wouldn't. And what the DEO is also telling us is, oh, it's going to take them some time to get caught up with us. So, for example, they owe me 6 weeks. So I could technically go back to work for 6 weeks, and maybe by then they'll actually be caught up to me. So when they come back at me and say, we paid you too much money, we can assess at that point when they're actually paying attention to my case, which they're not really doing right now. When they can pay attention to it, we can determine what is owed and what is mine to keep at that point. So that's why I suggest, just keep it and just keep it tucked away separate. Be a good steward of your records so that when you do get that email or phone call, you'll be prepared.
All right, Kelly, here's a quick text message from Bill, and he says, everyone should just lift themselves up by their bootstraps. What do you think about that message?
I think that is wonderful, and that's exactly what I've been doing. I work 14 hours a day trying to help people with the DEO, and I don't get one paycheck. So you want to talk about lifting up your bootstraps? Oh, yeah, that is me entirely. I appreciate that, Bill. But unfortunately, for a lot of people out there, they're stuck home with the kids, trying to school them. Their jobs aren't open. My restaurant alone, you know, crippled them to say we can open at 25% capacity. So guess what? 25% of people are being called back. So it's a real issue. It's not like a few people are unemployed right now. You've got 20+% of the state unemployed, and many of those people do not have jobs right now to go back to. So, you know, I would think if you weren't in the middle of it, you might think that, but that is extremely incorrect. Many of us want to go back to work. Work isn't just about money. It's about feeling like you have value and that you feel, you know, it's all about accomplishing goals and feeling good about yourself. So believe me, most people would just rather go back to work right now. So I appreciate that comment.
That gets to a question that we've gotten before. We haven't gotten it today, but we've heard some people say that they're having trouble hiring workers
or people will just say in general, well, people don't want to go back to work because they don't want to give up their unemployment benefits. What's your experience been with people who have had the choice between working or taking unemployment?
Well, we don't have that choice because if we tell our job we can't come back or we don't want to come back, they report that and we lose our benefits. So that's not really a choice of ours to make. The system has made it so we don't have that choice. I do know, for example, if my job called me back right now, I would get about 10 hours a week. I was working 40-plus hours a week, so for me that would be very difficult. It's a really hard situation, but I don't think that anybody wants to make it harder by denying work or denying income coming in. We just want our benefits, and we want to make sure that we're not going to be continually put in a place to fail, if that makes sense.
Our guest is Kelly Johnson. She created the Action Group for COVID-19 Unemployment Facebook group, and we're talking about Florida's broken unemployment system. And Kelly's answering your questions. She's a resident of Dunedin. She's running for state house, she announced today. And this is WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM, Midpoint Monday. I'm Sean Canan. We have a text message here that's unsigned, but it's from the 813 area code. It says, I have been deemed ineligible, although I have a small business. I've stated my income from my 2019 income tax return. I was informed that I may be able to apply for PUA, which I'm saying that I don't know what that is. Maybe you can tell us. Where can I find that application? So do you know what PUA is?
Yeah, that's Pandemic Unemployment Assistance. So that is basically straight up through federal. That'll be people who are self-employed, you know, run their own businesses, gig workers, those people who have been denied benefits through the state. Because right now, if you are approved through the state, your federal comes through your state. If you've been denied, there's no way for them to get federal to you without you going through that PUA. That should be a link located when you open up your unemployment case on the website. There should be a PUA link on the left-hand side of your screen. That is where you apply for PUA. Pandemic.
And that would be something that if you don't have that that link handy, you might be able to find it on federal government website?
No, it's actually going to be, you have to be denied by the state to get it, as far as we know, so it'll be on your Connect website. If you don't have it, again, I would go through trying to find out who your district House representative is.
Okay, great, thank you.
And try to contact them. Because it should be showing up on your... Now, it could take up to a week to show up after your denial, so be a little patient. And I know it's hard to say be patient. It's like, you know, 10 weeks in, but, you know, try to be patient.
Yeah. All right, let's see if we can answer one or two more questions here. This email comes from also unsigned. It says, I'm an independent contractor. My revenue, the amount of money people paid me for my services, was around $25,000 in 2019. I applied for unemployment on April 5th. Thereafter, the system kept telling me my application was pending until May 12th. On May 12th, they told me I did not make enough wages to qualify for unemployment. First, I don't make wages, I receive payments. Second, when I read the rules, it said you had to make more than $3,400 over the last year. I've certainly done that. What can I do to change the decision? I have not seen it yet, but the system suggested I look at the determination. But when I tried to look at the determination, it said determination was not available.
Right. Well, this is something that's actually happened to me. I'm both a W-2 and a 1099 worker. My state unemployment was only based on my W-2. They didn't even list any of my 1099. They completely messed that up. And they have been doing that more often than not to a lot of people. For me personally, I'm not even going to start an appeal right now because it took me so long to get benefits in the first place. So for this gentleman, again, going back to the same answer for the other person, you should be eligible to receive PUA, Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, through a link on the Connect screen once you get your denial. But you have to get the denial, and that's the hard part. So many people that I mentioned earlier that are in pending purgatory can't even access their federal CARES Act money because they're pending, and until they receive that denial, they're not eligible to apply. So it's frustrating. But anybody self-employed is not eligible for state benefits. You should get denied and should apply through pandemic.
So So apply anyway, then get denied, and then you'll get a link to the federal.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I want to thank you so much for joining us on WMNF Midpoint today, Kelly.
Thank you, and thank you for my announcement.
Yeah, thank you for making the announcement. So Kelly Johnson created the Action Group for COVID-19 Unemployment Facebook group. She also announced here on WMNF's Midpoint that she will be running as an independent for State House in November against Chris Sprouls. If you missed any of this show, you can listen to it on our website, WMNF.org/news. It'll be up later this afternoon. Thanks to Rob Lori, DC, and Miss Julie. I'm Sean Canan. Stay tuned now for Latino 54 on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota.